And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hello again, Wonderlings. Well, it's Friday, and you know what that means? Yes, it's the weekend. We made it through another week, and we can pat ourselves on the back for a job well done. And while we're at it, why don't we jump onto SoundCloud or iTunes, because another episode of Looking Back on My Wonder Years podcast episode has finally arrived for your download and listening pleasure to start off your weekend off in style. Start your weekend off in style. So take me along wherever you go or whatever you're doing this weekend. I'm your host, Angela Bowen, and today we're going back in time from our special summer podcast episode, which dropped on this Wednesday, and we're resuming with Season 2, Episode 5, Between Me and You and Kirk and Paul and Carla and Becky, which aired on January 18th, 1989. But before we get into this episode, I would like to congratulate both Carlos Marin and Joey Garcia 38 from Instagram, who answered the trivia question for this episode, which was, what does Kirk give Kevin to give to Winnie? Answer, his all-star patch. So thank you guys for answering that question, and you both have become honorary Wonderlings of the week. Keep playing. Guys, it's that simple. I post weekly questions, listener questions, trivia questions. Just answer and you get a shout out on the podcast. All right, this episode, the kids at RFK Junior High, mainly Kevin and Kirk, are trying to solve the mystery of who Winnie Cooper likes, or who she likes. Becky Slater is back again as Kevin's girlfriend, surprisingly, because I thought they broke up in the last episode, and both she and Kevin face off in a battle of the sexes when dealing with matters of the heart, when she finds out he's just stringing her along as he continues to debate his feelings for Winnie. We begin this episode with a shot of the TV, with the show Star Trek, the episode Spock's Brain. Kevin and Paul are in the basement watching with their girlfriends, Becky and Carla. I thought Becky and Kevin ended things from the looks of the final moments of their last episode. Maybe, her walking him home caused her to reconsider. Kevin slowly makes his move, putting his arm around Becky's shoulders as his hand gently brushes her shoulder, and Paul does the same with Carla, as they both smile at each other. Kevin's inner monologue lets us know that he and Paul don't pride themselves on being the makeout kings of the world, as the boys eagerly wait for the makeout sign from the girls. Becky pounces on Kevin, and Carla does the same to Paul, but are quickly interrupted, and they quickly untangle their limbs from each other and straighten up as Norma and Wayne come down the stairs to do laundry. Norma looks at Kevin and asks, "What's that on your neck?" And Kevin tries to pull his shirt collar higher, and he chuckles nervously, telling her, "It's a bug bite." Ugh, a bug bite. I'm sorry, guys. I would have said, it's a rash. Maybe you should change the detergent you're using on our clothes. Wayne, of course, throws himself into the fray, pushing Kevin's head aside as he pins him down, giving him a full inspection, telling Norma it looks more like a monstro hickey, a love bite, a big, juicy lip burn. He lets Kevin go, telling him, it's just a guess, though, and he imitates kissing noises. Norma hands him the laundry and tells him to head upstairs as she lightly taps his butt to get him moving. Hey, teens, here's a helpful hint, or just anybody in general. If you're going to give each other hickeys, never go for the most obvious open place, being the neck. Try the collarbone, or just above it. She looks at the kids and tells them she would be more comfortable having them watch TV upstairs, and Kevin tells her Star Trek is almost over. She informs him then she wants them upstairs as soon as it is. Then she walks back upstairs. Becky, Carla, and Paul just look at Kevin and laugh. "A bug bite?" Becky asks him incredulously. Kevin throws his hands up and shrugs his shoulders in a "what was I supposed to say" gesture. I'll give you a bug bite, as she tackles Kevin into the corner of the couch, and Carla does the same, resuming the makeout session. I want to point out how pretty Carla looks, especially without her glasses. I also noticed that Kevin and Paul are wearing black Converse. Guys, I do apologize if there's any noise. I have the door open, which is right near the desk that I'm working at. It's really warm in here, and I was trying to decide whether if I had the little fan on near me, if that would be worse than having the door open. So you're just hearing traffic go by if you hear any noises. All right, now we're in school in the hallway as Kirk calls Kevin over by the bay of lockers to ask him a favor. Kevin stands there pondering for a bit, then decides to walk over, in his mind ruminating why he should help Kirk and how he stole Winnie from him, which, no, he did not. Kirk asks Kevin to talk to Winnie for him, and Kevin is surprised as he exclaims, "What?" Kirk goes on to tell Kevin how she'll take it better from him, being their friends and all. From the way he says this, it almost gives me the impression that he's going to break up with her. But it's the exact opposite. He wants to know if she still likes him. Confused, Kevin asks, "I thought you two were going steady." And Kirk starts pacing back and forth, saying, "I know. She didn't say anything. It's just the way she says it, you know?" As he turns around to face Kevin, saying, "She's gonna dump me. I know it." He asks if she said anything to Kevin, and Kevin says how they hardly talk anymore. He asks Kevin to ask Winnie if she still likes him, and Kevin admits he doesn't think it's a good idea. Kirk tells him how he's liked girls before, but not like he likes Winnie. There's just something about her. You know what I mean? He asks Kevin as he dips his head down at the drinking fountain. Okay, so it's his body language. Maybe, you know, it's her body language. Maybe she's sending him signals that she's bored by their relationship and possibly wants to move on. She's only 12. I mean, it's not like she's going to marry him or anything, but if she doesn't like him anymore, she needs to let him know. Kevin again tells Kirk he doesn't think it's a good idea. And Kirk tells him if he can't... Hey, Quinny, how you doing, baby girl? Quinn, my kitty cat, soon to be 4 years old on Monday, just walked into the room from upstairs. She must have noticed I had the door open. She likes to look out the door. Kirk tells him if he can't do it, don't worry about it, and turns to go, but stops when Kevin tells him, "All right, I'll do it." Kirk comes over, squeezing his shoulder, and says, "Thanks, Kevbo." Now they're in the lunchroom, and Paul tells Kevin he can't do that, referring to Kevin asking Winnie if she still likes Kirk. Kevin says, "Sure I can," and then Paul says, "It's Winnie Cooper." Like he's referring to a goddess or a movie star that's basically untouchable or unattainable, like Leonardo DiCaprio, if you were a woman. Paul informs Kevin that if Carla dumped him for, he could never go ask her if she liked the guy she dumped him for, especially if it's someone like Kirk McRae, who's twice the size of Kevin, with shoulders out to here and a dark tan in the winter. I think he just has a nice complexion. He's maybe got a nice coloring, you know? Excuse me. Does Paul have a man crush on Kirk McRae? I'm kind of curious, because he's like always talked about his physique, especially. The way he goes on about him, maybe he just idolizes him because he's older. Which, oh my goodness, what the heck did I do here? Which, I mean, you know, when he didn't dump Kevin, they weren't even going out. In fact, Kevin points this out. Kevin gets fed up and says, "Maybe I'm not like you, Paul." And he looks around at the other kids staring at him. Then he lowers his voice, telling Paul, "Maybe I'm just a little bit more secure than... Maybe I'm just a little bit more secure than you." He goes outside to where Winnie is playing field hockey after school. She's pushing the hair back out of her face. She probably should have tied it back for field hockey. I mean, it'd be in the way if her head... If your head has to be down all the time while you're hitting the ball because you're looking down... I think it would be best, like, you know, when I played soccer when I was 14, I had my hair in a ponytail. You can't be having long hair when you're kicking stuff. It gets in your face. You'll trip. Sorry about the coughing, guys. She stretches her leg out on a bench in front of him, and Kevin can barely contain himself as the erotic thoughts move through his head, telling him to grab her, squeeze her, kiss her on the lips, to which he replies out loud, no. When he looked at him in surprise, like, what did you say? He just smiles and shrugs it off, tells her he ran into Kirk McCrae today, and the camera just stays on her as she works out the kinks in her leg. She's really working that leg. He tells her how he thinks Kirk's a really nice guy, and she agrees. And he finally blurts out that Kirk wants to know if she still likes him. Confused, she says, huh? He repeats himself, walking around the picnic table to her. Suspicious, she asks why he doesn't ask her himself, and Kevin says Kirk really likes her, but he doesn't want to make her feel weird by straight out asking her. And now we begin the like versus like, which I read somewhere that in the 80s, all the kids used this term to define how they felt about a member of the opposite sex. So the creator of the show had Fred Savage and Danica McKellar kind of use these terms because he liked, you know, they use them all the time. She asks, what does he mean? Do I like him or just like him? And Kevin says the first one. She tells Kevin she likes Kirk, but she's not sure if she likes him. Kevin asks if she's mad at him, and she says no. She likes him, but she doesn't like him. Man, this is confusing as hell. Back in the hallway, Kevin replays the conversation for Kirk, telling him she's not mad at Kirk. She likes him. She's not sure if she likes him, but she likes him. When she first liked him, she liked him, unless she thought she liked him when she just liked him. Yeah, if you guys can make sense out of that, yeah. Kirk bangs the back of his head on his locker door and tells Kevin he's a dead man and talking mainly to himself, asking what should I do? She's waiting for me to make the right move and asks Kevin, what's the right move? Kevin shrugs, I don't know. And Kirk thinks he could give her something, then asks Kevin, who shrugs, saying, you could try. And Kirk asks Kevin what he should give her, and Kevin tells Kirk he should figure it out for himself. Whoops, sorry, that was my timer falling over. Sorry about this, guys. That he is not the best guy to be giving this advice. Then Kirk pulls out his all-star patch for her to sew on her sweater or jacket, and asks Kevin to give that to Winnie for him. Kevin, of course, doesn't want to, and Kirk throws out his nickname for Kevin, calling him Kevbo. Okay, Kirk is kind of sounding like a pussy now. He can't even do any of this himself. He's using a wingman to do it for him. Girls, even at 12 years old, want a guy who's confident. Like, more than Seth Cohen. He's being Seth Cohen from the OC right now. You need to be confident. But I guess it shows that even popular guys are self-conscious, too. Kevin hands Winnie the patch when they're standing outside her house, and she asks what it is. And Kevin tells her, it's a sign of friendship. She's like, Kevin, you know, I know what this means. You know what this means. I'm not wearing this. Because she knows it's just something to cement her and Kirk's relationship, making it official. Which, isn't that what she doesn't want that. She doesn't want that. To sew it on her sweater or jacket? I mean, that's permanent. And a lot of work. Maybe she doesn't like to sew. You know, honestly, if you do, you better like the guy, because that thing is going to leave a mark if you rip it off your shirt or jacket. She turns to Kevin, telling him she thinks she has to break up with him. Kevin asks, really? And Winnie, with a cute tilt of her head as she gazes off, tells him, I think so. And she points out that there's no use dragging it out, and how they can still be friends, and that she really tried. Kevin hands Kirk back his all-star patch in the hallway the next day, and Kirk asks, Kevin, sorry, what I have for lunch is, like, slowly coming up and burping. I'm not burping, but I'm feeling the indigestion. Sorry, guys. Kirk tells Kevin, it's over. Kirk mentions how maybe she likes someone, and Kevin tells him he doesn't think it's that and that she still wants to be friends. Oh, those dreaded words no one wants to hear after being broken up with. In the lunchroom, Kevin comes up to Paul and even calls him Paulbo, turning his chair around and telling him he wants to ask Winnie something. He wants Paul to ask Winnie something for him. He's pulling a Kirk McCrae, even going so far as to tell Paul that if he liked Winnie, he'd do the same for him. Paul flat out says, no, you wouldn't. You'd be mad at me. He actually walks Paul through the conversation he would have with Winnie, I guess to psych him up, all the while munching on a french fry, and Paul tells him not to worry. He'll talk to her. I noticed in all this time he hasn't thought too much about Becky's feelings, using her as a stand-in Winnie. I hope he doesn't picture Winnie when making out with Becky. That would be gross and creepy. Very swim fan-ish. Kevin wanders the hall, thinking of him and Winnie and how things are finally falling into place. Then he spots Winnie and Kirk making out in the hall. Damn, this girl is playing the boys hot and cold. Outside of school, Kevin goes up to Kirk and asks what's going on. That he and Winnie broke up. I don't know why the hell I can't talk today. And Kirk confirms it. Yeah, we did. And Kevin brings out, you know, their little makeout session in the hallway. And Kirk comments, I know. Isn't it weird? Kirk tells Kevin that he asked Eric Antonio to ask Winnie for him. And that's when Paul comes up to Kevin. And Kevin asks him, within earshot of Kirk, I might add, if Paul talked to Winnie for him. And Paul told him he couldn't because she was with Eric Antonio all day. I think he likes her, Paul says. Kirk and Kevin both exclaim, what? This girl is playing the field, I am telling you. The boys cornered Eric Antonio in the hall, and he says all he and Winnie talked about was Kirk and Kevin. Wow, that must have been boring for him. And Kevin asks if he likes her, and he says, yeah, but not like the way Kevin likes her. And now Kirk's surprised at this and blurts out, you like her? Surprised at this revelation about Kevin. Kirk feels stabbed in the back because he says all this time Kevin liked Winnie, even though he went out of his way. He went to bat for Kirk with her, and Kevin admits he liked her before Kirk ever did. And Kirk is astonished at this and asks, does anyone else like Winnie Cooper? And then turns on Paul, who admits he likes the tiny freckles on her nose. And then he's like, I'm kidding. Note to Kirk. Kevin's always liked her since they were kids. They have a history, like Corey and Topanga from Boy Meets World in that sense. Kevin and Kirk ask who does Winnie like of the two of them, and Eric Antonio says he doesn't know, but he'll find out later that night since they're going skating. Carla comes around the corner and tells Kevin that Becky Slater wants to know if he's mad at her. Wow, he finally remembers his girlfriend, Becky Slater, and that he's been neglecting her. He decides to end it with her face-to-face and finds her in an empty classroom. What, is this classroom not locked? I mean, there's not even a teacher in there. Why would that be unlocked? She's sitting at a desk drawing a really cute butterfly, by the way, but she's looking so sad, and then she turns to face him, then she looks down again. He tells her they have to break up because he still likes Winnie Cooper, but he adds those dreaded words, the final nail in the coffin. We can still be friends, though. He pats her shoulder sympathetically. She whirls around in her seat and says, friends? I'll give you friends! As she slugs him in the stomach, then she stands up punching him in the gut and finishes him off with a sucker punch to the face, and he hits the ground as she runs out. Kevin lays on the floor dazed, and then we see a Star Trek spoof with the kids dressed in Trekkie gear acting out the scene off the TV in the beginning of the episode. He wakes up to find Paul standing over him, asking if he's okay, and then we see Kevin laying atop his bed as the song I Am an Island by Simon and Garfunkel plays overhead. He sees headlights shining through his window and notices Winnie getting home from her date and goes to head over, and Jack asks, you know, where are you going? And he says he's going over to Winnie's, and Jack says, isn't it a little late? And asks, can it wait till tomorrow? And Kevin tells him, no, it can't. Jack just looks at Kevin, reading the emotion in his face, and smiles, okay. He sees Winnie walking up the walk with Eric Antonio. Kevin walks up, and Eric says, hey, Kevbo. And Kevin says, hey, Ericbo. And Eric asks if he was at the skating rink tonight. Kevin tells him he wasn't there. And Eric asks if Kevin wants to hear what Winnie had said about him. Kevin tells him no, and Eric leaves. Kevin walks up to Winnie, and they say hi to each other. Then they both look awkwardly away. Winnie looks skyward and mentions how it's cold, feeling like it might snow. Kevin jumps in to Winnie, accusingly asking her what she's doing with Eric. She tells him they went skating, and he's nice to talk to. He's just a friend. And Kevin asks, what about Kirk? She tells him she broke up with him. Kevin scoffs at this, telling her he saw how she broke up with him, hence the making out in the hallway. She tells him she guesses that wasn't such a good idea, and Kevin says, you guess? And Winnie immediately gets defensive, telling him, what business is it of yours? Way to go, Winnie. Stick up for yourself, girl. She turns to go inside. Kevin shouts at her, I'm your friend. That's what? She turns to face him and says, if you're my friend, then why are you acting like this? Like what? Kevin fires back. Winnie sits down on the bench, and Kevin backs off as he stands next to her, telling her not to get upset. He tells her he wants to just know one thing and asks if she likes him. And he doesn't mean that whole like me stuff. She looks at him and says, I don't know. And he scoffs, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? She means she fucking doesn't know. She doesn't fucking know, Kevin. All right, lay off of her. He's giving her the third degree. You two are 12 fucking years old. She doesn't have to decide her dating life and future all in this 1 minute, and that's what you're pressuring her to do. I'm gonna say this, I really don't think Kevin is very healthy for Winnie, in friendship or a relationship. He's hostile with her all the time, it seems. I may change my mind, you know, I know people won't like my opinion, but that's what it is. It's just an opinion. Opinions change, you know, things change, so we'll see. She tells him, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I wish everyone would just leave me alone. And she's on the verge of tears. I don't know what I'm doing. This causes Kevin to take a mental step back and really look at the whole picture. All these boys vying for her attention and demanding to know who she likes more. She's not a piece of meat. She's just a girl who has thoughts and feelings, and the boys are drawn to her aura and essence. You mean you really don't know? He asks her. Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin says. Aw, there's the empathetic Kevin we all know and love. She looks at him and asks, what for? He says, I don't know. Kevin, she says, what? He asks. Knock, knock. She says, who's there? He asks. Sam and Janet. Sam and Janet who? He asks. Sam and Janet evening, she answers back in a sing-song voice. He just looks at her and she says, you're supposed to laugh. He says, I am. And she's like, you are? He's like, well, I'm not laughing, but I'm laughing, as they smile at each other. I love that callback. Then the song Someday We'll Be Together comes on by the Supremes. That's the end of the episode. Time for my Flower Power Petal rating. I'm giving it 3 out of 5 Flower Power Petals. 1, for the term like you or like you. 2, the use of the term beau thrown around. Kev beau, Paul beau, Eric beau. I didn't hear Kirk beau though. Maybe I did. Winnie's joke at the end was really cute. I liked how she kind of put that together. I knocked off 2 Flower Power Petals, 1 for Kevin stringing Becky along, then breaking up with her, 2 for Kevin demanding to know who Winnie likes and mocking her I don't know answer. The best song I'm going to give it to I Am an Island by Simon and Garfunkel. I love that song. I think that describes my entire teenage years. For the Far Out Threads Award, it's going to Kirk McRae's blue, purple, and white shirt. Who was the worst this episode? Kevin, for stringing Becky along and shaming, practically slut-shaming Winnie, and his outburst to Paul in the cafeteria. What I got from this episode. If you like someone else, don't go out with someone else while you're deciding about the other person. You make yourself look bad and hurt innocent people. My quote of the episode. I just have to know if you like me or not. And don't give me any of that like me stuff. Narrator. Well, that was it. A straightforward face-to-face yes or no question, and I was going to stand there until I got my answer. I don't know, Winnie says. I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Winnie. I don't know. I really don't know. I wish everyone would just leave me alone. I don't know what I'm doing. Narrator. This was something new. I mean, I always figured girls knew exactly what they wanted. They knew. They had a plan. Or maybe they didn't. Maybe they were just as confused as we were. Isn't that great? It's horrible. They don't know either. That means nobody knows. As I stood there that cold night, I realized for the first time in a long time that Winnie and I were both feeling the same thing. We were both completely miserable. All right, let's give a shout out to some Wonder Years listeners for this week. Ashburn, Virginia, Kansas City, Missouri, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Springfield, Ohio, Muskegon, Michigan, Downey, California, El Paso, Texas, Cleveland, Ohio, Austin, Texas, Monrovia, California, I'm sorry if I mispronounce these names, Buffalo, New York, Plymouth, Indiana, Dajin, Korea, the country, Charlotte, North Carolina, La Puente, L-A, capital P-U-E-N-T-E, California, Bell, California, and Chicago, Illinois. And to all you other listeners out there, thanks again for listening. I want to give a sincere thank you to all listeners out there, whether you listen to this podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud or any other listening platforms that you may use to hear this podcast. I love giving you guys the episode recaps of the Wonder Years every week. Joining me as I go into full detail as we reminisce of days gone by with Kevin and his friends Paul and Winnie and the rest of the Arnold family, as well as giving my occasional running commentary and childhood stories. To stay connected to the podcast, you can visit my many social media sites, which are listed on my SoundCloud account, and will take you right to them. The Facebook page, the Looking Back at My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Instagram, LBOM Wonder Years podcast, Twitter, Wonder Years pod. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Tell your friends. Also, check my social media sites, which, you, as I said, you can access using the links at my SoundCloud account. And also, I do trivia and listener questions each week, so if you'd like to get a shout-out on the podcast, all you got to do is answer them. Join me next Friday, June 30th, as we watch Season 2, Episode 6, Pottery Will Get You Nowhere. This is a Norma-centered episode, as Kevin takes a back seat. You know, this is kind of a side story. Norma has got the front seat. She is the center of this episode. Norma decides to take a pottery class, but not everyone in the Arnold household is happy about it. This is a serious episode. This is a look at the parents, the adults, and what they're going through, Jack and Norma. The conflict. So, all right, guys, see you next Friday. Have a great Friday, Wonderlings, and I'll see you again later. Bye-bye.